I'm Matt Glandorf, and I am the Artistic Director of Choral Arts Philadelphia and of the Bach Festival of Philadelphia.
And what is the Bach Festival of Philadelphia right now?
Well, the Bach Festival of Philadelphia, of course, was founded by Michael Korn about 35 years ago, and it has evolved over time from being originally a performing organization to being a presenting organization. And since I took it over, it's gone back to the idea of putting on actual concerts rather than just mainly curating a festival.
And so what is the Bach Cantata Series?
The Bach Cantata Series is based upon models, of course, that exist in Europe and also in the United States, particularly in New York. And really, the biggest treasure trove that we have of Bach's music are the cantatas, these 20 to 30 minute compositions that he wrote, a handful of in his earlier years when he was in Weimar, and then, of course, in Leipzig. His job was to compose a new cantata every week, which he did in a cycle over 4 years. So we have over 200 sacred cantatas that have come down to us. Several, of course, have sadly been lost. But this, when you think that we have over 200 of these works, we tend to hear maybe roughly 5 to 10 of them with any kind of regularity, but that leaves, close to 200 that don't usually get public hearings.
Wow. So let's put this in context. The general public knows Bach as this fabulous, iconic composer. He composed a range of works. Can you describe the range of works and where cantatas fit in his daily life?
Right. To start with, we may know the keyboard works, the Well-Tempered Clavier. If anybody's taking piano lessons, they certainly will have played some of the preludes and fugues, or the English suites or the French suites. Then, of course, there are the orchestral works. Most violinists, when they reach a certain point, will play one of the violin concertos or the double violin concerto. So there's a wide range of chamber music and or orchestral music. But the main portion of what his job was in the last 25 to 30 years of his life was composing choral orchestral music and providing it for the main church services, as he was director of music of the town. So he had to provide music for the four main churches and divide up his choristers and musicians for that duty. And before the sermon in the main Sunday services would come this cantata, which would kind of expound upon the ideas and the themes that would have been heard in that church service. What's amazing to me, of course, is that the cantatas were heard by roughly 4,000 people on any given Sunday.
4,000?
Yes, because the cantata would have been repeated in the afternoon service of Vespers. And when you think that all strata of society would have come to church, whereas if you were lucky enough to get an invitation to the local court, you might have heard maybe his, the orchestral music when he was employed as a court musician. But as a civic musician in Leipzig, his music was meant to reach a wide group of audience, ranging from people who were in service and children, families, the aristocracy. Everybody was in attendance at these.
And would he be writing new works every week, or would he be kind of building up a repertoire that he could repeat as needed?
Well, it was always unclear as to whether he wrote these over 30 years, and we now pretty much are aware that the great majority of the cantatas were written on a weekly basis between 3 and 4 years. And so that's a breakneck speed to be coming up with new music. 20 to 30 minutes worth of music every week. And the thing that's so incredible and astonishing is how original and how well-crafted just about all of them are.
And how many voices and what instrumentation?
Well, they range and vary greatly. Some are written for a choir, and always an instrumental ensemble. Sometimes the orchestra would consist of strings and maybe a wind instrument or two. Others would have 3 or 4 trumpets, timpani, a whole choir of woodwinds. Also, some have sort of slightly odder instrumentation. Some are solo cantatas for either one singer or maybe 2 or 3 singers. There's any number of variety of combinations that you find. It's really exciting as we're starting this cantata series and branching out to try to see how many of them we can possibly fit in.
And how long did you say they were typically?
Each cantata is roughly about 20 minutes. So our programs, what we've decided to do is to try to follow more of a European model in that we're currently started, we're doing them monthly as a series. And we're focusing on one cantata and we're pairing them with other works, either organ works, instrumental works, choral works, and some by Bach, some not by Bach, but that thematically somehow or other fit together in about an hour's worth of music. And we're using a model that's kind of based on the Metropolitan Museum in New York, based on the pay what you wish model. So we want every stratosphere of Philadelphia society to come to these. And if you can afford more, that's great. If you can only put in a couple of dollars in the plate, we want students and young people to also come. And as been proving, it's working.
When you say you were motivated by the European model, is it the idea of having a cantata series a recent phenomenon? And where did it start? Was it that people said, wait, there's all this great music that is not really known. Let's have a cantata series?
I think in major European cities that, you know, if you're there on any given weekend, you can probably not walk terribly far before you see, oh, there's a concert going on in this church. Oh, there's a concert going on in this museum. And of course, they're mostly cyclical and, you know, they are series. And this idea that somehow or other art is incorporated into people's everyday lives, that you can take an hour to hear a string quartet play in a square or a church or something like that, that's really what we were going for. Rather than a formal occasion that happens, you know, at 8 o'clock where you have to get a babysitter and, you know, make reservations for dinner, this idea that, you know, after work, you can go and hear an hour's worth of music and not feel like your entire life has been interrupted.
Well, I was going to ask, what is it about the cantata form that makes it a good vehicle to reach new audiences?
Well, the cantatas, I would say, are interesting in that they are usually of a certain length and involve a certain group of instruments or, you know, certain forces of singers, so that we can sort of model the rest of the concert around that, either thematically or in terms of the instrumentation. So, for example, in our cantata November, called for 4 singers, 2 recorder players, and 2 gambas. That's a slightly unusual combination. So the quartet of singers was able to do a work on their own, which we do the Purcell funeral sentences, and the 2 gambists did a sonata for 2 gambas, you know, not exactly your average sort of orchestral or instrumental group now, is it?
So you start with a cantata and then build the program around that.
Yes.
And do you have musical examples of?
I do. I brought actually the recording of our first cantata program that we did back in October. And this is an interesting work because it was written probably around 1707 when Bach was a very young man and is considered probably one of his first 3 to 5 cantatas that he ever wrote. And so it's a very young piece written for a string orchestra and a choir. And it's a wedding cantata. It's unusually short in that it's maybe about 13 to 15 minutes long. Most people listen to it were kind of puzzled and thought, that doesn't sound like anything of J.S. Bach that we've ever heard. And that's kind of also the fun, is that we've been able to explore the outer ranges. So the last one that we did is Cantata 140, Wachet auf, which, you know, is probably, in terms of his cantata output, one of the most famous.
So the cantatas range in style and in instrumentation. So could you use that as an example as to, we took this cantata, which doesn't sound like Bach, or didn't sound immediately like Bach to a lot of people, and from that, we build a program.
Yes. So this is how I built the program. I started with the cantata, which was 196, and as I said, it was a wedding cantata. It was an unusually short, so I had to really fill in a little bit more music. And so I started with just an organ, like a solo organ work that I knew was also early in his output, but clearly influenced by Dietrich Buxtehude and Johann Pachelbel, you know, composers who influenced Bach in his early writing. I then also paired it with a piece of English church music by Orlando Gibbons with a wedding anthem called Blessed Are They that Choral Arts did on their own. And finally, I just thought I'd throw in an instrumental work because I had 3 violinists on hand. So we did Pachelbel's famous canon. However, people got to hear it played on Baroque violins and, you know, at the speed that, that Pachelbel would have expected it to have been performed at. And the fact is, most people don't know that the canon is also conjoined with a shorter jig that follows it. So it's really a two-movement work. And so we were able to kind of recreate a little wedding concert, actually, with music. Obviously, we're not sure that Pachelbel intended his canon to be performed as a wedding piece. But since it's associated in our imaginations with weddings, I thought that this all tied together very nicely.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.